This is Todd Wright, and this is the Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group. Brandon Legal Group are huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf events. They buy the first foursome in every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament. They also have been responsible for free shirts and free golf balls at previous Todd Wright Tour events, and we are working on prizes for a future Todd Wright Tour event. Now, Brandon Legal Group knows legal assistance advice is not an impulse buy, and they hope you never need to call them. However, sometimes there are things in life that merit legal assistance. And when you need legal assistance, consider Brandon Legal Group. Two things for you to know. One, you do not need to reside, work, nor have your legal issue originate in the city of Brandon, Florida, to reach out to Brandon Legal Group. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. Second thing, when it comes to your specific type of legal need, and you hear about law firms that specialize or emphasize a particular type of law, Brandon Legal Group is full service law firm. You do not need to ask the question whether or not they can help you in your area of need. Any other questions? Well, just call them and ask. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Brandon Legal Group, big supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Hey, next Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament will be Saturday morning, May 4th. If you would like to be on the pre-sale list, which is becoming more and more of a must to get on the pre-sale list. All of my events are open to the public. However, being on the pre-sale list allows me to take care of those who support my events, have played previously in my events, expressed interest in my events, and I want them to have first shot at all of my available tee times before I put the tournaments fully on sale to the public and bring in absolutely new people. That's the way I run my golf tournaments. That's the way I run my business. So if you would like to be on the pre-sale list for Todd Wright Tour XIX, our 19th event, Saturday morning, May 4th, as always, it will encompass everything you expect from a Todd Wright Tour event. It will be low priced with great value. It will feature a unique format in terms of the golf experience. Prizes will be distributed randomly and equally. We will have plenty of good food. Also, you will not play in a tournament more organized than a Todd Wright Tour event. You will know everything you need to know before you show up at the golf course that day. When I started doing these events almost 3 years ago, I did them because I looked around and I saw a number of golf tournaments. They didn't do things right. And now I'm 19 tournaments deep and I see other tournaments struggling to stay afloat. Why? Well, they didn't do things right. We do them right at the Todd Wright Tour. To get on the pre-sale list, email me, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Just say, hey, I listen to the podcast. I hear about the golf tournaments. I'd love to be on the pre-sale list for May 4th. That's it. Anything else you want to throw in there, comment about the podcast or something else, it's fine. And obviously, the golf tournaments are in the greater Tampa Bay area. I know I have, last check, we had podcast listeners in as many as just under 20 different countries. So, and even had some people reach out and say, hey, can you take the show on the road? You love Vegas. Can you throw a golf tournament there? How about Southern California? How about New Jersey? I'm not to that point yet. I'd love to get there. And perhaps I could use some of your help when I end up doing those things. But right now, they are in the greater Tampa Bay area. While I appreciate people all around the United States and all around the world listening to my podcast. I believe this is number 8 or number 9 of the actual Toddcast. Again, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast will be back. It will be back in July. to start previewing fantasy draft boards, etc. Updating people for fantasy football. Just after doing 30 straight months of fantasy football podcast, I felt a little restricted and I wanted to do some other things. So the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast will return in July, just as the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast will return at the start of the National Hockey League playoffs. The Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast, also presented by Brandon Legal Group. Now that I'm feeling a little bit better, knowing full well I'm going to cough or sneeze or sniffle at some point in this podcast, or simply need water for my throat. I'm not there yet. As I've been ill most of 2019, it has been a struggle. And I know I'm not alone. For those of you out there who have also been battling it, right there with you. Feel for you. Let's feel better. So, one of my favorite journalists is a longtime columnist for the now Tampa Bay Times named Ernest Hooper. Ernest, 3 decades ago, used to write about sports media, and he wrote about me. And he liked me. I don't know if he didn't like me, if I would be saying these things about him 30 years later, but he did. I didn't read it first. My grandfather did. I got out of bed one morning, and my grandfather said, "You need to read this column from Ernest Hooper." "Oh, okay, Grandpa." I still have the column. Ernest and I still talk about it. Ernest says he still stands by it, and I appreciate that. He has run the gamut from writing columns about sports media to writing columns about sports to writing columns about news to writing columns about politics to writing columns about community to writing columns about civic issues, social issues, to now again writing columns about sports. He recently wrote one as it related to some data out there and a story that was done based on the data, where the data suggested that attendance was down at virtually every sport and sport venue in the state of Florida. There were exceptions, and we're talking primarily about professional sports and the mainstream professional sports, not the niche professional sports, and also major college sports, such as college football, and to a lesser extent, simply because college basketball is not nearly as big of a deal in Florida as college football, but college basketball to a lesser extent. So just incorporating those around the entire state of Florida. And Hooper asked his colleagues at the Tampa Bay Times what they thought of the data. He didn't call it a trend. He just looked at the numbers and said, "What do you make of this?" So I got involved and I reached out to Ernest and we had quite the back and forth. Basically, I wrote him a column just for him with my personal analysis of the data. And he wrote a column back solely for my eyes with his analysis of the data. He also said, and it was one of the things I pointed out, his colleagues at the Times, they answered it as sports journalists who get free access to these events, which is not the way to look at it. For example, one of Hooper's colleagues, who is an award-winning writer and has been around as long as Ernest, said, quote, "There's nothing like standing on the field before a playoff game at Fenway Park. Okay. I'm not disputing the comment. The problem is that's not what this is about. For the majority of people, they have no way to do that. And I'm not talking about the person who lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who is geographically removed from Fenway Park. I'm talking about even people within 75 miles of Fenway Park who roll their eyes and say, must be nice. They have no access to that access. So we need to take the nature of the free access being elite out of it, which is something I think for many of you who've been listening to me for years, much of which came in my 17-year career on national radio with ESPN, Sporting News, Sirius XM, Yahoo Sports Radio. I reached a point once I got established where I didn't turn down the press credentials. I just kept them in my pocket. I didn't use all of the perks of the press credential unless I really, really needed to. Instead, I bought tickets to sit in the stadium bowl at events because I felt it gave me a perspective that was lost in terms of the national media. Not naming names, but there was a, and still is, very high-profile sports talk show voice who would, on the company dime, fly out a couple days before a big college football game. Let's just throw one out there and say that the game was Penn State at Ohio State. And this person who worked at the same network that I did at the time would fly out on the company dime roughly on, I don't know, maybe Wednesday. Let's say it was Wednesday night. And he would do a show there on Thursday and a show there on Friday. And there was a connection to that particular big college football game that weekend. And then he'd come on Monday and he'd talk about that game, the result of it, and everything else that happened in college football. He was a big college football fan. People didn't realize he didn't go to the game. I mean, he didn't even in most cases use his press credential to go to a game. He left. He finished his last show and he left. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I think is rubs me the wrong way about Radio Row at the Super Bowl is most of those people, they don't go to the game. They leave after their last show on Friday. Their companies fly them home. They don't stick around for the weekend. They don't attend the game. And for some of them that attend the game, they're sitting in a room watching it on television. No, not a press box where there are TVs hanging from the ceiling for replay. No, they're sitting in a room where without a TV or without looking on their phone, they couldn't see the game. To me, that's not being at the game. If you can't see the action with your own eyes, you're being disingenuous to your audience. So I thought there was a lot of that going on, and I didn't want to be that person. I think about now with the power of social media and what I could have done from the stands with so many events that I attended, both just regular season games because I wanted to see a particular venue that I had never attended, because at one point, and still I'm at roughly 90 to 95% of all Major League Baseball, NFL, and probably at about 80 to 85% of the current NBA venues where I have seen an event. And when I say seen an event, I've actually seen it with my own eyes and not just gone in and done an interview and seen the building with nobody in it and left. Because I thought it meant something back then to sort of have that accountability to connect with my audience. So it's been now about 6 years since I, yes, retired from full-time national radio work. I don't regret it. I don't like what national radio and the similar type forum on these television networks with a lot of loudmouths being unaccountable. I find it on Instagram. It's called Freezing Cold Takes. I think they're wonderful because they hold these loudmouths or other writers accountable for when they whiff badly on something, where the talent and their network just kind of hopes people forget. Freezing Cold Takes, it's what it's called. Find it. I follow it on Instagram. I now do this podcast, and when I wrote Ernest and I thought about why I don't go to as many sporting events anymore. Now, for those of you saying, well, you don't work on national radio anymore, so you don't have the access, that some of that is true, but I still have the means. When you work 17 years on national radio and you've been smart with your money, and I was raised by wonderful grandparents who didn't exactly leave the cupboard bare when they passed on, I could go to virtually any event I want to, just as when I worked for ESPN and when I could put events in my contract that I wanted to go to. This one, this one, this one. I can still do that. I don't. Now, there are still some that I choose to go to for various reasons, but my personal attendance of sporting events, much like the data that I brought up at the beginning of this podcast, is also down. So I analyzed that a little bit with Ernest and thought about it as it related to me. So while the prices of these sports experiences have gone up, I'm not going to be that person that claims that all sporting events are way too expensive and things are out of hand. No, I'm not that person, because I think in many cases there are reasonable amounts that are charged to get you in the door. Maybe it's not the best seat in the house, but that's not what you're buying in that case. And as far as the purchases that go along with just getting in the door, that's up to you. If you go in with a plan not to do it, you don't have to do it. If you go in with a plan of, well, what else am I going to do? And this speaks to another type of people. I've never understood this type of person. And there are some of you out there like this. When it comes to your vacation time, individually or with your significant other or your family, it doesn't matter how much anything costs. You're on vacation. That's it. So if that costs that and you want it, or your significant other wants it, or your kid wants it, damn it, I'm on vacation, and you pay for it. I've never understood that, and that has nothing to do with sports. Nothing. To me, you still need to use your head and think logically and have a semblance of what something is actually worth, rather than just blindly finding an excuse to pay for it. So it's not a financial or even an employment thing for me. It's not. I still have the means to, I've been to the Masters 7 times. I'm thinking of going in a couple of months. I probably won't. But could I go? Sure. I can go again if I want. I've been to 8 Super Bowls. Could I have gone to this last one, driven up to Atlanta, and just go? Sure. I have the means to do it. Did I? Nah. I ran a golf tournament the day before, and I had a Super Bowl party with 8 other people that I really enjoyed. So it's not that. For me, it's these things. One is the time investment. And the time investment could relate to a number of other factors in my life or in your life, where the longer it takes me to do something, the more I question whether or not it's worth it in the first place. And Ernest and I differed on this. He actually gave, from growing up, a religious reason for always staying to the end of an event. He said he was raised to stay to the end of Mass. And that is a reason why when he attends a sporting event, no matter what is going on and how the lack of competition or otherwise, he feels the need to stay to the end. I don't. In some cases, and I'll give you an example. Last year when we did the Lightning playoff podcast, and as part of that, the Tampa Bay Lightning agreed to give me a press credential because I felt to do what I really wanted to do with that podcast, I didn't want to sit in the stands around other fans drinking, making noise, and rooting on the Lightning. I wanted the press credential setting in the arena to do that, and here's how I did it. I showed up 5 to 15 minutes before the puck dropped. Sorry, but nothing that happens pregame interests me anymore. It doesn't. To me, it has no impact on the game itself. It's not why I'm there. It's not what brought me there in the first place. Then I left every home game in the second period. The minute the second period went to intermission, I gathered my notes and I headed to my vehicle. And I quickly drove out of downtown and I came home and I watched the third period and or overtime with the audio of the game and the talented announcers calling those games, because hockey has excellent announcers across the board, in my opinion, to see the end result of the game, going against what Ernest said. So my time investment was basically the first and second period and one intermission. And by the way, I hate that hockey has 2 intermissions. I didn't hate it until about 2 years ago. I now hate it. I can sit through 1 intermission per sporting event. In the NFL, we get a very quick halftime, unless it's the Super Bowl. In college football, you get a lengthier halftime because of the bands. I notice it's lengthier because I'd rather have the NFL timed halftime. I have no interest in the band in 98% of the cases. NBA has halftime. It's usually very brief. And NBA overall, their games are shorter than most of what you find, and especially now that they limit the timeouts, the last, 2-3 minutes of the game. that's just kind of the proof of it's a time investment for me. Let me give you another example how it relates to football. So if I'm looking forward to watching a Cowboys Sunday night game, now part of the factor of the game being on Sunday night is it's the best production of an NFL game out there. The NBC Sunday night production is better than anything CBS or Fox or ESPN do. And I believe the announcers on that game are the best of a top-heavy, good group, but I like listening to Michaels and Collinsworth, and if all sideline reporters, male or female, did the job as efficiently and effectively as Michelle Tafoya, we'd all be better off. So when I'm looking forward to a Cowboys game on Sunday Night Football, even my time investment watching that game varies a little bit because I know it's probably going to be more than 3 hours. I'll watch the first half of it at home while I'm kind of doing other things. I know if I miss anything, I can hit the pause button, go back, see it again. But at the same time, I'm in my own environment at home, and I can do other tasks or work on other things as it relates to my golf tournaments, my podcasts, planning fantasy football stuff, while I'm keeping an eye on the first half. Then we go to halftime, and that's when I leave my home, and I go nearby to watch the game out at a sports bar or restaurant and get some food, get a drink, see some friends, and get out of the house. And then I usually stay for the end of the game there, but depending on how I feel or otherwise, I might leave that bar with 5, 7, 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, or if the game is going to go to overtime, and come home and watch the end of it and enjoy that quality production on television. So I'm moving around, not staying in one place. And when you attend a sporting event, you're not only making the time commitment for that event, you're basically, your assigned seat says you're in one place for the entire time. Now you can leave your seat and walk around, but that's about all the choice that you ultimately have. If you want to watch the game, that's the seat you've been assigned, and it's not like you're able to do other things even with your smartphone in your hand. It's not like being at home. Then you have the additional part of the time investment where very few people can leave their home or their residence or their workplace 15 minutes before a National Football League game starts and see the most meaningless play in all of professional sports, the opening kickoff. So there's the time investment of getting there, so you factor in the time investment of getting home. There's the time investment of getting ready to leave that you also put in there, and it becomes, no matter if it's a 1 o'clock game for an NFL or 4:30 or an 8:30, an all day or an all night type thing in many cases. That's where I decided I didn't want to do much of that anymore. I used to be fine with it, but now there are just other things that I want to do with my day. Even if it's me choosing not to do very much at all. Smaller tasks, little errands, me time, things of that nature. So then comes the, and I know this will offend some of you, I said to Ernest, and it was part of the discussion about me leaving early, but it speaks to also me not going to nearly as many live events as I used to. I told Ernest, I realize whether I'm there or not, the result of the game will be exactly the same. Me being there changes nothing. The game isn't better for me being there. The game isn't worse for me being there. The game isn't closer for me being there. The game isn't worse or less competitive for me being there. One team doesn't win because I'm there, and one team doesn't lose because I'm there. Now, I know some of you are offended by this by saying, well, that's all about home field. Have you noticed how home field advantages over the years? Take a look at some of that data. Have dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped. I was just watching Dave Andrechuk describe dimensions of the ice in a Business of Hockey segment during a Tampa Bay Lightning broadcast. And within that, Andrechuk basically talked about how every rink built in the National Hockey League now is exactly the same. And not only is it exactly the same in its dimensions, it's exactly the same in the construction of the boards. There used to be cases with certain hockey arenas where there was a spot on a board that it was kind of a dead spot, or you know, home ice advantage, you knew there was a ricochet there. There's still some elements of that, I understand, in baseball as it relates to outfield walls, because those dimensions are not unified throughout the American League and the National League. But more and more, there really isn't a home field advantage. You want me to give you a recent example? NFL AFC NFC Championship Sunday, what two teams lost? Both number one seeds lost in their building, described by most for years as a great home field advantage. They both lost. It doesn't mean what it used to, and I just came to realize whether I'm there or not, it really doesn't matter to the result of the event itself. I know a lot of you don't like to hear that. There's still enjoyment in going for those that have the means to do so, and there's enjoyment from many different ways. I'm just, again, giving my reasons why the data suggests attendance is down, not just at NFL games, but you know, Nick Saban's been dealing with this with the students at Alabama. Where are they? Maybe we should just sell these seats to somewhere else if they don't want to come to the games. When even your college students look at what's going on and think, oh, maybe I'm going to sit this one out, then you see how prevalent it is across various demographics, across various sports, and why more and more people have their reasons. You have yours. I have mine. That person has theirs, for why they don't attend as many live sporting events. And I thank Ernest Hooper for the back and forth on this and for his inspiration in this particular podcast. He's a very intelligent individual. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. They know that legal assistance is not an impulse buy. No matter how much you love this podcast or hate it, you're not going to pick up the phone and immediately call Brandon Legal Group because they're presenting sponsor. You call for legal assistance when you unfortunately need legal assistance. And Brandon Legal Group understands that. They are a full service law firm. and they service the greater Tampa Bay area. Remember them for when you need them. And we hope you never do. 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME. Brandon Legal Group. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'll talk to you next time.